All right, we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going through the Book of Daniel. Decided during the break to do a little search and take a little aside here before we jump back into the text. We were talking about the image dream and how it's foundational to Scripture because the interpretation is sure, and how it refers to several other phrases refer to it throughout the Scripture. And I went to Luke chapter 21 and verse 24. And so if you got your e-sword out, you can go there. And it says, and now he's talking about what's coming on Jerusalem at the end of the 490 years. Because basically they're in the middle of the 70th week because he is about to be crucified and put an end to the sacrifice and so forth in the middle of the 70th week. So basically, right in the middle of this, he says, he's telling them that the time is going to come when they see that the desolation is near, okay, that they are to leave. And this is Yahushua talking to the people, especially his disciples and his followers. He's giving them a prophecy, and he's saying, when you see these things, you're supposed to flee from Jerusalem and flee. And in verse 24 it says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that's what we were referring to as here. And now if you mouse over the word Gentiles, you'll see that it is ethnos. And if you do a search, you'll find out that it is the word nations or people, and that at times it even refers to the Hebrew nation or the Jewish nation, as it's referred to here. And if you look in the Strong's Hebrew and Greek, you'll see that it is actually ethnos. So it doesn't refer to one ethnic race or ethnic group of people over another, but it is a generic term, basically. But most of the times in the Scripture, when he was talking to the people in Jerusalem and he said nations, of course, in context, it was referring to the other nations. But here in context, I believe it's referring to something else totally, especially when he says the times of the nations or the times of the Gentiles, as it's translated here in the King James Version, authorized King James Version. So the times of the Gentiles, if you translate that times of the nations, I believe that you can be fulfilled. And there's another key verse in context, be fulfilled. So when is the times of the nations going to be fulfilled? Or other words, when do the times of the nations end? Well, we just read about it, didn't we? When the great mountain that is cut out without hands strikes the image in the feet, and then all of everything from the head of gold to the feet of iron and clay is shattered into little itty bitty pieces and blown away like the chaff of the threshing floor, so that no place was found for them. Doesn't that sound like the times of the nations is fulfilled? So I believe I'm onto something here, and perhaps this is a revelation that the Heavenly Father has given me, because I have not seen anyone come up with this little bit of information. So I think thankfully the Heavenly Father has given it to me. And you know what I've also found out, that this, when he gives me something, that he gives it to other people at the same time, at least. And there are probably other people who have come to this conclusion. So I'm not saying that I have anything exclusive here. But as far as I know, I've never heard this from anyone else. So the revelation for me has come from the Spirit. And I see that the agreement in the Word, and I see the agreement in creation, as in historical evidence, that this is the truth. And this is that we can accept this as doctrine, so that the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled, we can find in that foundational piece of prophecy that he gave us and said that it is sure, that the interpretation thereof is sure. And also then, if you go forward into Revelation, you'll find Mystery Babylon. And I believe that I'm not going to go there today. That's something that we'll cover when we get more into that. But we will cover it as we go through, and perhaps we'll spend a day between Daniel and Revelation, or after we do Daniel, or after we do Revelation, and we'll put some of those pieces together on to bring those two books together, because I plan on going into Revelation after I finish Daniel. I believe that I feel bold enough in the Spirit that I can move forward, because I have spent the time in prayer, and I believe that the Heavenly Father has opened some things up to me that I couldn't see before. I know He has, because I've been sharing some of those things with you, so I hope that you're getting something out of it. And speaking of getting something out of it, well, it would be nice to hear from you and what you think of the things that I'm saying. My email address, you can find it there on the website and at crosstheborder.org. And let me know what you think of these things. If I'm off, you think I'm off, and you can show me in the Word, and, you know, I would like to hear it, because I want to be right, not because it's a prideful thing, but because I'm accountable to my Heavenly Father for what I do in my ministry, and teachers are much more accountable than the rest. And, yeah, it's a fearful thing when you think about it. I don't want to be out here teaching error. That's for sure. I want to be right because I want you to be right. If I need to be corrected and someone out there can correct me, then it's your duty. Because, you know, if you're a follower of His and you love your neighbor, well, I'm your neighbor in this case. And if I need to be corrected, I want to hear it. So email me and, you know, and kindly correct me. I would appreciate that. Okay, we're going to jump back into Daniel where we left off. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar, he sets up this image, and it's all gold. You know, some time has gone by, and he changes the dream image to all gold. And he puts, of course, he's the head of gold. He makes the whole image gold. And now he calls all of the employees of his government. And I'll tell you, he's got a big government because he is a tyrant, and he has as many people serving him out of his kingdom and out of his captives as he can. So he's got thousands of people there for the dedication of his image. And he's got this fiery furnace over there, burning hot. And he says, when the music starts, I want everyone to fall down and worship the image. So that's where we left off. So they're all called together to the dedication of the image. And he says in Daniel 3:11, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. So he got this furnace stoking over here. He got this image, and the king, and he's already ruthless. I mean, if he says off with your head, you're dead. You know, I mean, you put the equation together, you're going to fall down and worship the image, because you don't have a greater God than the king anyway. You know, I mean, if you're just a pagan heathen out here, like most people are, you'd fall down and worship that image. You go, it's not worth it. I can, you know, don't hurt nothing. I'll fall down and, you know, and go through the motion. At least I don't love the king. I don't love his image. I don't want to serve it, but, you know, he's going to throw me in that fiery furnace. You know, the police will come and get me and drag me away, and I'll lose my house and my job and my children, and they might even, you know, kill me. But in this case, they're absolutely going to kill me because there's that fiery furnace over there. Oh, and there were certain Yahudim, children of Judah, whom he'd set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. So, you know, we got the snitches, the little Nazis out there going, noticing, and saying, hey, look, they're not falling down and worshiping. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of a time I was in a so-called patriot meeting, and 10 or 12 years ago, whenever it was. And, of course, they had to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I've been doing this for a while, the Pledge of Allegiance thing. And if you've been listening to this network at all, you hear a different Pledge of Allegiance quite regularly here. And anyway, they did the Pledge of Allegiance, and, you know, I wouldn't put my hand over my heart, and I wouldn't stand up and mouth the words, you know, because I had already dedicated myself to His kingdom. And His kingdom come, and Yahushua, you know, Jesus, He is the only thing I'm going to pledge my allegiance to. I'm not going to pledge to any inanimate object or any of the governments of Mystery Babylon. You know, none of them. I'm not going to fall down and worship their image. They didn't even have a fiery furnace, and I wasn't going to do it. You know, if they had a fiery furnace, I still wouldn't do it. Anyway, so they spoke to me about it, and I explained to them the best I could, and they seemed to accept it at the time because they were all supposedly like-minded people, but they didn't have the same conviction I had at that time. And I'll tell you, that conviction has only grown over time. So I will pledge allegiance to nothing but, you know, my king, the King of Kings, and his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that one holy nation, you know, under our Heavenly Father, Yahuwah. And if you've heard the, you can also see that on my website too. There's a link there that says, it says Christian Pledge of Allegiance, but you'll see it there, the Pledge of Allegiance, if you want to learn that and distribute it and teach it to your children. Taught it to my daughter because she's going to a private Christian school. And when I was there enrolling her, it was funny to me in a way, but I didn't laugh at the time. I was in the principal's office, and out in the classroom, the children started doing the Pledge of Allegiance. And the principal of the school, she dropped everything right there. I mean, it was a dead drop, and she put her hand on her heart, and she started saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And, you know, I mean, you know, I got that feeling in my spirit, like, oh, no, I didn't even think about this. So that's when I decided that I got to do something about this. And I worked on the Pledge of Allegiance. I prayerfully developed the Pledge of Allegiance that you hear on the network and that I have written on my page there, because I wanted it to be, you know, absolutely acceptable according to his word. At first I looked for other so-called Christian pledges of allegiance, and they had one, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. And I thought, nah, you know what? It's still an inanimate object, and I know it's a symbol, but I still don't want to pledge to an inanimate object. And they really didn't like the rest of it. And then there was a guy who did this song, you know, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. And it's a nice song and all that stuff, but still not quite right. And it's hard to recite and learn. And I not really practiced at singing that well. So I developed something that I believe will work really well. Well, anyway, I taught it to my daughter, and she went, and I guess an occasion arose that she recited it, and people started saying to her that, she came back to me, and she says, they do it wrong. Good girl, you know, they do it wrong. She calls me Poppy. She says, they do it wrong, Poppy. And I said, yes, they do it wrong, but you always do it right. Don't do it their way. And I explained it to her the best I could to a 5 or 6 year old. But so she still does it her way, and they do it wrong. So that's a good thing. And I can't change the world, but I can, you know, change myself and hopefully be a witness and at least have an effect in the lives of my children, if not others. So I hope you'll consider the Pledge of Allegiance. And it goes like this, I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation under our Heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all. Very simple, very concise. And it goes along with the same type of cadence as they use for that other one, which I won't repeat. Okay, so back to the pledging here to the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so the snitches came near the king, and they said, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, has made a decree that everyone should fall down and worship the image when the music starts, and that whoever does it should be cast into the fiery furnace. I mean, would you go snitch on your neighbor knowing they're going to die because they didn't fall down and worship an image, you little Nazis, you know? Yeah, there's, you know, that's the way Nazi Germany was. That's what I call them, little Nazis. There are certain Jews, or there are certain of the Yahudim whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, oh man, you know, this guy was set off so easily because, you know, I mean, I'm king. They have to do what I say. And if they don't do what I say, rawr, you know, in his rage and fury commanded, he said, you know, he sent the police out and he said, bring those guys in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought them in before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, so he's not, you know, we're going to start the music again. I'm going to give you another chance. And he goes through it, and they go through it, the flute, the harp, all the instruments. Flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Who's going to deliver you out of my hands, Shadrach, Meshach? I'm going to give you another chance. Because what he's saying is, I'm God. And he said, what other God? What other Elohim? You know, that's the word we have here in the Hebrew is the, lost my place. Sometimes my mouse is a little too sensitive and I got to find it again. Okay. He says, what God is there? What Allah? And that's the Hebrew word. There's Allah, God. Because he considers himself one of the gods of the... He says, what God? You know, who's going to deliver you out of my hands? He's pretty confident. He's pretty cocky that, you know, nobody's going to step forward. I mean, they're all afraid for their lives already. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know, and what they're saying is that, you know, we don't do this carelessly in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But even if he doesn't, that's what it's saying here, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Oh, that was not what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to hear. He continues here in verse 19, chapter 3. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. I mean, you know, he was consumed by his anger. He lost control. He was visibly shaken, and he changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, he was kindly towards these guys. He had a respect for them. He had set them over his whole kingdom because of Daniel and these guys, what had happened beforehand. But his visage was changed, and it was now he was against them. And he spoke, and he commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. He says, man, that furnace, I want it seven times hotter. And he's visibly shaken, and his countenance has changed. I mean, he's consumed by his anger now. And you could imagine the rage and the fury and how he's just screaming at the guards and whoever's in charge of the furnace, seven times hotter, and cast them in. So they're stoking up the fire over there, you know, because they don't want to be casting themselves. And boy, they got it seven times hotter, I'm telling you. And he commanded that the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be those guys. He says, I want the strongest men up here. Get me the best men you got. I want these guys cast and bound and thrown into that furnace. So, you know, they're sitting around for a few minutes waiting for the fire to get hotter, heated up seven times. And meanwhile, they're looking for the strongest men in the army or in his police force to bind these guys and tie them up and cast them into the fiery furnace. And then these men were bound in their coats, in their hosen, in their hats, in their garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, I mean, they died. The guys cast them into the fire. They had to get close enough to cast them in. That fire was so hot in that furnace that they died. Wow. Like I said, I wouldn't want to be those guys. And then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. And he's looking at him. He's standing off far enough that he's not going to be hurt, because he just saw two men fall down dead before the furnace, and they probably caught on fire and burned up or melted or something. But here they are, and he's looking in the furnace. And he was astonished. He rose up in haste and spoke and said to his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." Whatever you say, king. And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." You know, what an astonishing thing. You know, here this king had this great dream. And off of this dream, because of the character and who he is, he builds an image of the dream, but he makes it all gold, because, you know, he's the head of gold. So the Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, gives him this dream and this vision, and he gives Daniel the interpretation, and it's all recorded for us. And now he's looking into the fiery furnace. He's having another encounter, and something is put into his head, and he says, "And the fourth is like the Son of God." I mean, whoever even heard of the Son of God before? But that's what he declares, and it's recorded here for us. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, I guess as near as he could anyway, and he spoke and he said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. I mean, you know that fire was hot. You can speculate, and people, because those men who threw them in are dead. You know, they're probably charred ash right now, sitting by the mouth of the furnace. It was so hot. I mean, I've got near some pretty hot fires and singed some hair, but boy. So it goes on. That had no power. The fire had no power over them, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. And you know what? We're going to have to pick up here next time. So be sure to join me next time on Cross the Border. I'll see you then.